Thank you, Steve.
What are those two stories about, the stories that we just heard Susie and Helen read to us? Well, I think they're, for one thing, they're about how easy it is for the rich and powerful to maintain their power by taking from the poor simply because they can. And sometimes, like King David, they don't even notice that anything unfair is happening. And so it takes a brave man like Nathan to go to the king and to point it out to him. And a story is not a bad way to do it, is it? Then again, the landowner who employed the labourers in the vineyard, he shows that there's another way to behave in business. And many businesses are frightened to do things differently. But I think today, in the present worldwide economic crisis, we desperately need that, some brave, radical examples of good financial behaviour. I was listening to the radio on Friday, and I heard the chief executive of Lloyd's TSB announcing that he would not take his bonus for this coming year, a bonus of £2 million. He turned down. Okay, his salary is 1 million already, so he's not going to starve. But that's actually good, isn't it? For someone to voluntarily say, although I'm due that money, I'm not going to take it. Last Christmas, my brother gave me a rather serious looking book called The Spirit Level. And it kind of looked like hard going when I unwrapped the paper. Statistics and economics, never my favourite subjects. But as I began to read it, I became captivated. It rang all sorts of bells in me. And throughout this year, I've seen several newspaper articles and television programs referring to this book. And the book's main point is about inequality. In other words, the gap between rich and poor. And the book says that it's inequality rather than poverty that makes a nation unhappy. Once people have got enough food to live on, it's inequality that makes people unhappy. And that's also the point of Jesus' parable of the workers in the vineyard. And indeed, it's the point of Nathan's parable to David in 2 Samuel. And indeed, it's the point of the Occupy protesters outside St. Paul's Cathedral and other places around the world. They're protesting at inequality, at unfairness. Dr. Richard Higginson is a lecturer at Ridley Hall in Cambridge, and he's done research on salary scales in companies. And he concludes that we need to reduce pay differentials between the average full-time employee and the chief executive. Notice the comparison, by the way, not with the poorest employee down the bottom, because that might be a special case. They might be low paid for a reason, or they might be contracted or something. But the average full-time employee compared with the chief executive. And in British companies, that averages out at 100 to 1. But there are wide variations. John Lewis and Tesco are both successful retailers, aren't they? But Andy Street, John Lewis's managing director, earns just 75 times his average full-time employee, while the chief executive of Tesco's pay differential is 750 times his average full-time employee. Makes you gasp, doesn't it, when you grasp what's going on there. Now, I know John Lewis is famously a partnership, but John Lewis has performed impressively well through the recession. So it's not true what people sometimes say, that excessive executive pay is necessary to make your company perform well. No, you don't need to. Turning to charities, Tradecraft is a charity, so you would expect a lower differential, wouldn't you? But it's still surprising that it is just 6 to 1. In the Church of England, there are 10,000 clergy like me earning on average £22,000.
we get a house as well, to be fair. But the Archbishop of Canterbury earns £70,000. That's a ratio of just over 3 to 1. Reduce the pay differential. We can do it. We can reduce the inequalities within companies and charities and other organisations. And this book, The Spirit Level, by Wilkinson and Pickett, is not just an opinion. It's not just a theory. It's full of academic research and hard facts and figures. And its statistics show that countries with a high degree of inequality, like the United States and the UK, also suffer the greatest number of social problems. Surprisingly, the rich suffer as well as the poor. Inequality is bad for you, and they prove it on every page, time and again, with every measure you look at. Speaking at the Greenbelt Festival last year, Dr. Richard Wilkinson, one of the authors of the book, said that rates of violence, rates of mental health problems, other social ailments, they're all correlated with inequality. Inequality, he said, changes the whole quality of social fabric right up the society. And in more unequal societies, we all do worse. Countries that have reduced inequality have done it either through a more similar salary scale, like Japan, reducing those pay differentials, or through an equalising system of benefits, like the Scandinavian countries. Now, I know some people would say that religion and vicars should keep out of politics and economics and stick to spiritual things. Well, Jesus didn't. Jesus actually said more about money than he did about heaven. And that surprises people sometimes. We follow Jesus, don't we? So, of course, we are to take an interest in politics and economics. The assumption that politics and economics have nothing to do with people's ethics and morality, well, clearly that's wrong, isn't it? They're the prime application of spirituality and ethics, because this is what people live with from day to day. And many people today are actively looking for guiding principles. They're desperately searching for a way out of the fog and the chaos. How could we do that? Well, it's very easy to feel powerless in the face of market forces, but there are things that we can do. For example, employers could recognise other values apart from pay, such as job satisfaction and intellectual stimulus and a good company atmosphere and a pleasant work environment and so on. There are other ways to reward staff and attract good applicants. Companies could be transparent about their salary scales and what people are paid, at the bottom as well as at the top. One of the chief factors sustaining inequality, keeping inequality there, is secrecy about pay scales. Companies could attempt to pay not just a minimum wage, but a living wage. Because this isn't just about profit margin. This is actually about people. That's what the labourers in the vineyard was about. Those men needed the wage for a day to feed their family. High earners especially can make personal choices to give more, to be recklessly generous. I think we should applaud people like Bill Gates, for example, and Anita Roddick, who give to the poor. In 2010, Jamie Oliver became one of Britain's 1,000 richest people. He entered the list. But when you compare the list of Britain's most generous givers, he was number 22 on that list. Well done, Jamie. We need to applaud people who are generous and recklessly so. But of course, all of us, all consumers, we can be aware of the impact of our choices, what we buy. Fairly traded goods, for example. In other words, goods that pay the workers that produce them, as well as the big corporations that market them. Now, I know in a recession, People are uncertain about money and about jobs, and it's very easy, isn't it, to retreat into doing whatever's necessary for our own survival. It's very easy to buy cheap and sell dear. But it is precisely during a testing time that Christians should be characterised by a different attitude, loving our neighbours as much as ourselves. Maybe you carry some responsibility. Maybe you have to make some of these decisions. Better, perhaps, I think, to reduce people's wages rather than make them redundant entirely with no work and no hope of getting work in the present climate. Our world is interdependent, isn't it? And there are no limits as to who constitutes our neighbour, in Bangalore as much as Birmingham. And one encouraging change in recent years is the growth of social enterprise, business aimed not just at making money, but at transforming society, bringing the marginalised people out of poverty in the developing world. And Christians are playing a key part in this. Locally in Colchester, churches are setting up money advice centres resourced by Christians Against Poverty. And it's something that I think we might think about doing here in our area. These things are desperately needed because people are being made redundant and libraries and CABs are being closed down. And where do they go for help and for advice? There are also organisations like Five Talents and Shared Interest, which lend money to fair trade businesses in the developing world. There is a lot we can do. And of course, we can do the greatest thing of all, which is to pray. Pray for this nation. Pray for God's creation. Pray for businesses that we're aware of. Pray for ourselves as individuals. So let's do that now. Let's pray in a time of quiet for God's work in the world.